Father, thank you for being here with us this morning. God, we thank you for a brand new day, Lord, another opportunity, Lord, for us to gather together. And Lord, on top of that, God, ahead of us, Lord, as you permit, Lord, a brand new year. Lord, this first morning of 2005, Lord, and Lord, we ask that you would come, Lord, it would be a... Lord, it wouldn't be like any other morning, Lord. It'd be a brand new morning, Lord, with you. And Lord, looking ahead to a brand new year with you. God, as we gather together this morning, Lord, we ask that you would speak, Lord. Lord, that you would give us ears to hear. And Lord, even as we sing these couple of songs this morning, Lord, we ask that you would turn our hearts and our minds towards you. Again, Lord, at the outset of this day, Lord, of this year. And it would be a year, Lord, of seeking after you, God, of thirsting and hungering after you. And being satisfied with you, Lord. So, Lord, we give you our time together this morning, Lord. Again, so thankful for it. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Sing a couple songs this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. So let's go ahead and we'll sing, seek ye first.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Let's sing the first verse again.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Let's go ahead and sing that one out. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Sing it one more time at the very top.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Lord, we do. We want to see you this morning. Lord, as we open up your word, God, would you help us, Lord, to open up our eyes, our hearts, Lord, our minds to the truth of your word. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would teach us and instruct us, Lord, in the way that we should go, and that we would walk in it, Lord, that we wouldn't just see it this morning, we wouldn't just see you, but Lord, that we would follow you, Lord, that we would walk after your ways, Lord. So teach us, give us that application that we need, Lord. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, 1. And starting this morning, we're going to be teaching verse by verse through the Gospel of John this year, however long it takes us. So you guys will know where we're at next week. Wherever we stop today, that's where we're picking up next week. The Gospel of John. Gospel according to John. Here we go. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, those three words, in the beginning, should remind you of at least one other verse. You turn to the very first verse in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When was the beginning? A long time ago. How long? Don't know. All that matters, and the Bible doesn't even try to explain itself, when was the beginning. The beginning was when everything started. God was already there. And John says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. The personal pronoun, the name, Say title. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God. 1 John. John not only wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote three little letters. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1st John begins like this. That which was from the beginning. Talking of the Word. Talking of Jesus. Speaking of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word wasn't only with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. They're one and the same. Jesus himself will say, if we'll go through John, you'll see it. Jesus will say, I and the Father are one. And the Jews picked up stones to stone him to death. What do you mean you're the... He was making himself equal with God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, but not only was he with God, the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. When everything started, Jesus was there. The Word was there. Real quick, keep your finger here. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. I want to read a few verses, a handful of verses here in Proverbs 8. And in Proverbs chapter 8, there's a picture, another personification painted for us in Proverbs chapter 8. And who is the personification of? It's a personification of wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out? An understanding put forth her voice. She stands in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Wisdom is crying out. Understanding is crying out. And who is she crying out to? To you and I. Not just to men, but to the sons of men, every single one of us. Verse 5. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands and right to them that find knowledge. Receive, check this out. Verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Look over at verse 35. The end of chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. For whosoever finds me finds what? Life. And shall obtain favor from the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now go back to verse 22. Read a handful of verses here in the middle of chapter 8. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. So this person that's talking, it's no longer just wisdom. Wisdom is talking about itself, himself, herself. Wisdom is talking and saying, I was from everlasting. From the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as he had yet not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the foundations of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandments when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. This isn't just wisdom or someone writing a cool little poem or a story about wisdom telling a story. This is none other than Jesus himself. He's from everlasting. In the beginning, when everything started, the Word was already there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him. John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Who made everything? Who's John describing to you and to me that made everything? Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Now go back in your mind to Genesis chapter 1. How did God create everything? Did he put a tool belt on and get a hammer and a saw and grab some nothing and start hammering away? Did God use his hands? No, you read Genesis chapter 1 and it says, and God said, let there be light. God created everything through the spoken word. It's the Word of God that created everything. And so when John says in verse 3, all things were made by him, referring to the Word, capital W, and without him was not anything made that was made, that covers everything that you and I see, everything that you and I are, even the things we can't see, visible or invisible, all of it was made by the spoken word of God. That word in the Greek for word is logos, L-O-G-O-S. Logos means the reasoning, the essence, the thought behind everything that God is. If you could take all the thoughts of God and put them into something and contain them like a vehicle to pour them out through or to express them or declare them to people, it was Jesus Christ. Everything was made through Jesus Christ. And everything that was made by him and for him. You and I, we're not just talking about things. We're talking about everything you see, everything you are, everything you are, everything I am. Scripture tells us that God says to us, that when you were in your mother's womb, I knit you together. Before the foundations of the world were even laid, I knew who you were. I knew your frame. I know that you're made out of dust. Everything was made through and for Jesus Christ. You were made by Christ. The Word of God. Verse 4, check this out. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life. Think about that for a minute. Because it doesn't say in you, it doesn't say in me was life. In us was life. In the people on the face of the earth was life. Because the fact of the matter is that in you and in me, there is no life. You don't have any life within you. You and I have no life within ourselves. Think about it. People spend their whole lives trying to work something up, either their emotions or relationships or whatever. We spend our lives trying to work something up, and the whole time God has to send something down. That's religion. You want a definition of religion? Religion is man's attempt to try to reach God. That's what's different about Christianity.
Amen.
Real Christianity. Not what the world tells you Christianity is. Not what you think Christianity is. Christianity is, in its purest form, there's no life in you and me, and so God sent His Son, and it says right here in verse 4, what's He say? In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. In Him was life. In you and I, there is no life. And that life that was in Him, that is in Him, is the light of men. So think about it. Think about what John said. In Jesus was life. Think about Jesus' own words in John 10:10. I have come that they, speaking of us, I have come that they may have life and have that more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. That you might have life and that more abundantly. Because in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Bible doesn't say that in you there is life, or in me there is life. There isn't. That's why He came. I have come that you might have life, because you don't have it. That's what He's implying. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. So if we don't have life, according to, look at John 1:4, what's He saying? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you and I don't have life, we have no light. If you have no life in you, if there's no life in us, then you have no light. No light. And if you and I have no light, the logical conclusion, the logical progression of thought, if there's no light, then I must be in darkness. Apply that to every single area of your life. If you have no light, you're in darkness. Your thinking is darkened, your heart is darkened, your emotions are darkened, everything's darkened. There's no life. There's no light. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Listen to what Paul says. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that men are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because you and I refuse, because you and I refuse to glorify God for who He is, Paul points out very clearly that because of that choice that each and every single one of us makes, your heart, your foolish heart, my foolish heart, was darkened. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness. Present tense. Not past tense. The light shined or shone in the darkness. No, it doesn't say that. It says the light shines in the darkness. And guess what? The darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not comprehend the light. Past tense. The light shines in the darkness. Present tense. The light shines in the darkness today. The light shines in the darkness of your life and in mine today. And if you refuse to acknowledge the light, if you refuse to comprehend or to be willing to respond to wisdom crying out and receive instruction from wisdom, to receive instruction from the truth that comes from the lips of wisdom. Remember what wisdom said? Remember when we read Proverbs chapter 8 just a few minutes ago? Listen, hear. This is what wisdom says. Hear, I will speak of excellent things, for in the opening of my lips shall be right things. My mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverted in them. That's Jesus. The light, the life that came from God, who is God, who created everything. And as he speaks, as you hear the word of God, as you sit here this morning, or you stand here this morning, God is speaking to you, and he's looking for you and for me to come into that place of acknowledging the truth, of being able and open to receive instruction from his mouth. The light shines in the darkness of your life and in mine. And the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness refused to receive that instruction. The darkness refused to be taught by wisdom. What you're doing is you're rejecting the light. That's what it boils down to. And when you're rejecting that light, what is that light? It's life. So when you reject light, when you reject the truth of God's word, that's what you and I are doing. When you refuse to receive instruction, even the most basic of instructions from the Word of God. When you reject and refuse the instruction, what you're really doing, bottom line, is you're rejecting life. Verse 6. John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That is, through his witness. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, you and I have many people, just like John, in our lives. They might not dress like John the Baptist did. They might not wear camel skin and have a leather belt around their waist and eat locusts and honey. But that wasn't what John says. That's not what God points out here in the beginning of John's gospel. He's referring to another John, not himself. He's referring to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent by God into other people's lives to bear witness of that light, which we'll see next week. Because in John 1:29, John the Baptist, standing on the banks of the Jordan River, he stopped baptizing people, and he pointed, and he said, "Behold, look intently, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That was what John was sent to do, to bear witness of the light. He wasn't the light. As we'll see next week, the religious people came to him that day and said, "Hey, are you the one?" And he said, "No, I'm not." John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of Jesus. There are many people in your life and in mine that have that same job, that fulfill that same role that John the Baptist did. You know who they are. I know who they are in my own life. I might not know them by name, but I remember meeting them. I remember them coming up to me on the street. I remember them talking to me, whether I knew them or not. God had sent them into my life to bear witness to the light, to the truth, which I knew in here. I knew way deep down inside, I knew it was true what they were saying, but I chose not to receive instruction. I chose to refuse and reject the light. I didn't want life. I didn't want to come into the light. Why do you and I reject light coming into our lives? Because if light came into your life, if you chose to accept the testimony of God's word, you know what? The Bible says why people won't, they refuse to come to the light. You know why? Because if they step into the light, or the light steps into their life, and they accept it, and they open themselves up to it, what's going to happen? All their evil deeds, all their darkness is going to get exposed. Everything, every thought, every word, every deed, every part about them that's not right is going to be, boom, there it is, wide open. Now God sees it all, and you see it all. That's a little overwhelming for some people, and so people refuse. Hey, you know what? I'd rather just live for 70 years and scrape by. If God gives me 70 years, I'll just live in darkness. I'll just reject the light because I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to be held responsible for the things I've done. That's what it boils down to. It's accountability. So you think you can, you know, you try to cover your tracks as best you can and move here and move there and change scenery, change location, change friends, change people you hang out with, because after a while you get tired of it. And stuff's starting to catch up with you. And so what do? You pull up stake and you move. You go to the next city. Or you go to the next state. Or you go to the next country. You go somewhere. And your whole life, and at the end of your life, you find out, man, I've been running my whole entire life. You die. And you stand before God. And guess what happens? You've got to give an account. You can't get away from it. Better to give an account today, better to acknowledge the truth today of what God says and say, you know what? You're right. If you acknowledge the truth today, if you allow yourself to be exposed by the light, capital L, today, guess what happens? You can actually do something about it. You can say, you know what? You got me pegged. I'm nailed. I'm guilty. But that's why I'm allowing you to expose me. That's why I'm stepping into the light today, because I am guilty. I'm tired of running. I can't do anything about my situation. Again, remember the contrast between what the world thinks religion is and what real Christianity is? We think it's us trying to do good and be nice to people and give food to that guy and money to that person and the whole time thinking that God's going to accept us, that we're trying to reach God. We're trying to work our way into heaven. When the whole time, there's nothing that you and I can do that God will ever accept. Because Isaiah 64:6 says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. The best thing that you could ever do in your life and ever will do to God, it's utter trash. It makes him sick. Because what is it? At its basest form, it's you attempting to please God in the strength of your own flesh, and you can't do it. Because if you won't come into the light, then you're rejecting the light. You're in darkness. Darkness and light don't mix. You can't take a cup of light and a cup of darkness and mix the two. They don't mix. You turn the light on, what happens? The darkness goes away. You take the light out, turn the light off, what happens? Darkness comes flooding right in. There's no in between. Many of us have people, God has sent people like John into our lives to bear witness of the truth, to bear witness of the light, to point to the light and say, Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. You can't come to the Father except through him. That's it. In one shape, form, or another, God has sent someone into your life and into my life, numerous people into my life in the past, to bear witness of the truth of what God says. So again, you can be held accountable today. You can enter into that relationship and be accountable today, or you can reject it and be held accountable and stand on your own strength in the end. Think about it. The power of personal testimony. Just like I wrote on the back of that little handout, if you got one, if not, it doesn't matter. Because the reason why I stand up here, the reason why I do this, it's not for anybody except for the Lord. The Lord asked me to do it, and that's why I do it. Because I have entered in, and by personal experience, my own personal experience in my life, I have encountered Jesus Christ. He stepped into my life. I acknowledge the truth finally after years of running from him hard and fast. I acknowledge the truth of what he said, and guess what happened? He took the darkness and he came in. When the light steps in, boom, darkness is gone. Life comes in. Now I'm alive. And now I see clearly. The first 2 years when I got saved, I said the same thing that a blind man who didn't even know who Jesus was got healed by Jesus. And people asked him, hey, who was this guy that healed you? He said, you know what? He goes, I don't know. All I do know is that I was blind and now I can see. And nobody could argue with him. Oh, they tried to make up stories about Jesus saying he's demon-possessed and all this different stuff. But the guy held to his story, because the fact of the matter was is that he was blind and everybody knew it. And now he can see and everybody knew it. Verse 9. That was the true light, not John the Baptist, but Jesus. That which is the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. You're not going to have an excuse when you stand before God as to why you didn't allow the light, the life of Jesus Christ, to come into your life. Because every man that comes into the world, every man, the pygmies in Africa, so many people are so concerned about when you start talking to them and sharing Jesus with them. Well, what about the pygmies in Africa that have never heard the name of Jesus? Well, guess what? Right here, verse 9. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Nobody, as we just read in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, no one has an excuse before God. We're all without excuse. So many people will say that, well, what about the person that's never heard out in the jungles, that's never heard of the name of Jesus? What's going to happen to them? And every once in a while, I'll tell them, I'll say, if you're so concerned about the pygmies in Africa or the people that have never heard that live out in the jungles, then you get right with God and then you go tell them about them. What are y'all worried about them for? You ain't never met them. You don't care. All they really care about is avoiding the light. Yep. Let's change the subject. Because I don't want to enter into accountability. I don't want to have to stand before God today. I'll just wait. And someday I'll stand before my maker and I'll tell him what, you know, this, that, and the other thing. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Think about it. God, the one who created everything, he was in the world. He came to the world. He was in the world. Everything was made by him, and the world knew him not. They refused to acknowledge who he was, who he is. Verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Not only did he come to the world that he made, and the world didn't know him, he came to his own people, the Jews. He came to God's chosen people, and they didn't receive him. He was not received by his own. But, check this out, verse 11. But, as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you hear what God's saying? The world didn't know him. The world didn't receive him. His own people didn't receive him when he came. But to as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power, to them he gave the right to become children of God. What's John saying? But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, what that means is whoever will receive him, whoever will receive instruction from wisdom, whoever will come into that place of acknowledging the truth of the light entering into the world, wow, God, you came down in flesh and you lived among us. And you lived a perfect life because my life was imperfect. You came as the light. You came as the life. Again, John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have that more abundantly. That was the whole reason why he came. We were without life. He came as the life to give us life. And so what John is saying here in verse 11, but as many as received him, whoever will receive the life, whoever will acknowledge the truth that the life came, to them he gave power, the ability, to them he gave the right. You now have the right, when you enter into acknowledging the truth, you now have the right to become a son or a daughter of God. He will adopt you into his family. And you will have all the rights as a son. He will be your father. You can be his kid. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, and it's the Lord saying, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Do not touch the unclean thing, or those things that are common, or worldly, or dark, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. As many as will receive him, whoever will receive him, whoever will acknowledge the truth of what God says about our condition, and believe. It's not just believing. See, believing, there's all different kinds of belief. Some people think you just got to believe that Jesus came, died, rose again, and then you could be saved. James says, do you believe? He says, even the demons believe, and they tremble. The fallen angels, the ones that fell from their original estate, They know this book backwards, forwards, and diagonally. They could quote it diagonally. They know it. But the truth of the matter is, demons believe. Demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Demons believe that the light came into the world and that that life was the light of men. Demons believe that Jesus died on the cross. Demons believe that Jesus died. Demons believe that Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. And it scares them to death. They tremble at the reality of what they believe. So what's different? Because John says, as many as received him, to them he gave power, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So what's the difference for you and for me between the belief of demons? It's believing upon his name. It's calling upon his name. It's coming to that place of, you know what, God? I'm in darkness. I have no life in me. You are the light. You are the life. I'm coming to you, Jesus. And I am surrendering. I'm yielding. I give up. And you know how you can tell if someone believes that and they enter into that relationship? Where they actually become a son or a daughter of God? You know how you can tell? Most of you, I can use this, using most of you. Those of you that are sitting down today, you all believe something, and you haven't even told me about it. I haven't talked to you about it today, but I know that you all believe something, and it's that you believe that whatever you're sitting on is going to hold you. That you're not going to fall through and hit the ground. Your chair's not going to bust underneath you. The bench isn't going to fall off me underneath you. The ground you're standing on isn't going to, you're not going to fall through it. You haven't even thought about it once. Y'all believe that the chair is going to hold you, that the bench is going to hold you. And the way I know that you believe that is by your actions. Not because y'all came in this morning before you guys sat down like, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt this chair is going to hold me. So I'm going to sit in it, okay? Just so everybody knows, I believe this. No one said that this morning. You know the chair is going to hold you, so you sit in it. The same thing. How do you know if someone believes that Jesus Christ came into this world as the light, as the life that shines in the darkness and calls us to that place? He cries out to us and says, hey, enter into that agreement with me about what is true about your condition. Just come to acknowledging the truth and believe in my name. Believe in me. Put your trust in me. Seat yourself upon me. Let me come and step into your life and let me take over. Let me drive away the darkness. Let me clear and turn on the lights from your foolish heart that was darkened. Let me bring wisdom into your heart and turn on the light. Let me live my life in you and through you. Verse 14, last verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. There are lots of cults that believe that the Word was an angel. The Word was just a spirit being. That the Word was, take your pick. But God's Word tells us that the Word, in verse 1, was God. He was not a God. He was not an angel of God. He was God. And verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Just like you and I got. Flesh. Think about it. God became man. And John says, here's John bearing witness himself, he says, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Glory that can only come from God. A life that can only be God. It was full of grace. It was full of God's divine influence upon this human, God in the flesh, full of grace, and it reflected itself in the life of that flesh when the Word became flesh. God's glory was reflected through that life in every word, every deed, every action. Full of grace and full of truth. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Flip over to 1 John towards the end of the Bible. We're going to close here. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. Again, this is the first little letter that John wrote. Listen to what he says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning what? The Word of Life, capital W. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Think about what John's saying. He's bearing witness to the truth of what he saw, of what he heard, of what he touched, of what he lived with, of what he slept by, as he walked with down the street, as he heard the words come out of his mouth. He is bearing witness. Verse 2. The life was manifested, the life of God was made known, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Why? What's the whole purpose why John is even talking about this? What's the purpose of me standing on a ladder? What's the purpose of other people around you that God has sent into your life to bear witness to the truth? This is the whole reason right here. Listen to this. That you also may have fellowship with us. So that you and I could sit around, not like I used to talk to Frank over a year ago, where Frank and I would talk, and he's from the outside in darkness, not understanding. And we talk and talk and talk and talk time and time again. Every time. I got pictures. I got pictures to prove it, right out here in the park a year ago. Where Frank has come after me, he comes up to me and goes, man, I don't, and he'd start talking, and he'd be like totally get in my face. I got pictures, us back and going back and forth. You see, now Frank understands. Now Frank and I, we're not contrary to one another. It's not light talking to darkness or light shining in darkness. It's light with light. You turn on two light bulbs in the same room, is there like a wall or a meow in between? You know, it's like, whoa, these are two lights. Get them away from each other. Well, you turn on light, and you turn on another light, all it does is provide more light. There's no separation. They go together. They have that fellowship. That which I have seen, that which I have heard, that's what I'm declaring unto you week after week, day by day, for the sole purpose that you might have fellowship with me, that you might have fellowship with us. It's not about joining a church. It's not about giving money to anybody. It's about entering into a relationship with God, the one who gave you your life. Just agreeing with God what He says about your life and saying, yep, I agree with you. I'm in darkness. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not just fellowship with me. It's not just fellowship with other believers. You actually fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So I keep talking about personal experience. I have personal experience with God daily. I spend time with God daily. I walk with God daily. I see God provide for me daily. I see God's faithfulness daily. I look back towards the end of the year, last year, I'm looking back at 2004. I see God's faithfulness. I see God's truth. I see God's hand daily. And in light of that, I see, you know what I see about myself? I see my own shortcomings. I see all my failures. I see all the times I blew it. I see all the times I didn't have faith. And guess what? All it leads me to do is to come to that place and ask God, you know what? I've been asking Him, I've been telling people, and I've been praying about it too. God, all those areas that I'm weak, don't make me strong. Because if God made me strong in all the areas that I'm weak, then I wouldn't have any need for God anymore. So don't make me strong in the areas that I'm weak. You step in and you fill the gap. You be the strength of my life. You be my strength. Help me to lean on You, not myself. Father, we thank You for this time this morning. Thank You for the truth of Your Word, God. And I pray that as we go through the Gospel of John, however long it takes us, Lord, Lord, that You would be meeting with us, Lord, that You would be speaking to us, Lord. Lord, that Your truth, that Your life, that Your light would shine in the darkness of many people's lives, Lord. And they would come to that place of acknowledging the truth, changing the way they think. That they would enter into agreement with the truth. And then You, Jesus, would come in, You'd move in, set up Your kingdom in their lives, Lord, and that You would rule and reign over them. Lord, that we would have fellowship together. And most importantly, Lord, that our fellowship would be with You. So, Lord, we thank You for this time this morning. Pray these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen.